eyes. I pulled the nose of the Jewel starboard so that we would dive past the shield generator shortly after the missiles hit. The sensors could pick up whether we scored a hit or not. The cruiser itself represented a blind spot. The hangar that spat out the TIE fighters was underneath the ship, and I couldn't see what lurked underneath. I squeezed the blaster trigger and held it down as we approached the edge. Two TIE fighters emerged from beneath the ship, the vanguard of the second squadron, caught bolts in their cockpits, and exploded. Four down, 20 to go, though the second squadron was still in the process of scrambling into action. The concussion missiles struck one after the other, the first weakening the generator's own shield, and the second following up, penetrating and destroying it. Before we passed it, another hit took our shields down to 50%, and then we were briefly hidden from line of sight as I pulled the Jewel up to skate underneath the cruiser, just a meter above the shields, to make it impossible for the TIEs above the cruiser to track me. To their scanners, I was invisible now, lost in the shadow of the interdictor. I planned to come up over the opposite side and take a shot at the newly vulnerable gravity projectors. I didn't hold my course, however. The TIE fighters above the cruiser's plane would be waiting for me in a direct line from where I disappeared, filling the space with ambush fire. I drifted aft so that I would reappear on the back starboard corner, and from there I'd fly up and over the bridge before attacking the projectors. Three TIEs pursued me from behind but couldn't get a lock. Their wings wouldn't allow them to get as close to the underside of the cruiser as the Jewel, and they couldn't line up a decent angle in the brief time they had before I cleared the other side. They took a few shots anyway to make it look like they were trying, and the bolts dissipated harmlessly against the cruiser's shields. The interdictor's gunners either didn't see me or were holding their fire to avoid tagging the TIEs. A couple more launched out of the hangar, and soon they would all be after me. As I cleared the starboard edge and climbed up, green bolts zipped past forward of my position where the topside TIEs had predicted I would emerge. The shooters followed too close behind that to correct course once they spotted me. They had to bank around for another pass, but some of the trailing fighters spotted me and banked to intercept. One of them banked right into a TIE that shot up from under the ship. Two more down. I kept hugging the structure of the cruiser to make a firing solution difficult for their laser cannons. And as soon as I cleared the bridge, I targeted the twin bulges of the port gravity projectors and sent two concussion missiles each at them. That wouldn't necessarily set us free. With two of its projectors still working, we'd have to clear the interdictor's simulated mass by a good deal before our hyperdrive would engage. And the cruiser would have plenty of time to redirect those starboard projectors toward Kupo if its crew was alert and operating efficiently. We needed a kill shot, and we had one on board, purchased at great expense from Uthiel Outfitter's secret catalog. The problem was that it might kill us in the bargain. There was no time to think it over. If it was going to work at all, I had to use it now, before the missiles hit, because the physics demanded it. I couldn't expect to get another pass with only 50% of my shields remaining. The TIEs were forming up and responding to the surprise of my attack. The other squadron would be fully deployed any second. And when it was 18 against 1, they would surely deplete my shields before I could take my shot. So I armed and released the Uthiel Rock Crusher Compact Seismic Charge, letting it fall toward the rearmost gravity projector from the bracketed housing on the bottom of the Jewel. It didn't have a guidance system or any propellant, so it followed the Jewel's trajectory upon release and would detonate on a proximity trigger. It fell in an arc rather than continuing straight on our course because the gravity projector was still working. Nakari sucked in a breath and whispered,
"Uh-oh,"
when she saw me press the button, but I couldn't spare a glance in her direction. As the gases inside the seismic charge mixed prior to detonation, I pulled up and leveled out, streaking past the batteries of lasers. Then I kept going in as straight a line as possible, thrusting past the interdictor as the concussion missiles hit and running for all the Jewel was worth. And my path was like a needle pulling a string of TIE fighters behind me. They spread out in the back into a cone so they could all try to blast me. I stole a quick look at Nakari now that I had the time to do so, and she was breathing heavily, her eyes wide and her hands clutching the armrests, or at least as well as she could. Her left hand wasn't up to clutching anything yet, but it looked tense. The jewel took a direct hit on the rear deflector as a result of my distraction, and our shields fell to 20%. Right afterward, the seismic charge dropped into the open, unshielded wound of the gravity projector and detonated. Its massive shockwave shredding the structure of the cruiser from the inside so that the huge ship bulged and came apart in a mess of bodies and metal, shearing the front half from the rear completely and rendering them into lifeless hunks of space debris heading in opposite directions. We picked up a tiny bit of speed as all the simulated gravity ceased to exist. We were clear to jump to hyperspace, and I reminded R2 of the fact. But the shockwave continued in our direction, too, plowing through the trailing TIE fighters behind us and shuttering them apart. We watched on the scanner as the red triangles representing the enemy disappeared.